Columbus.
Welcome to The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper.
Put it in the upper right-hand corner, just like a postage stamp. That's a good bingo!
Get ready to learn more about the Columbus Blue Jackets players and coaches, as well as find out what's going on this week in the NHL. Now let's join Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley for The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank.
Well, unfortunately, here we are to wrap up the 25th anniversary season of Blue Jackets hockey with this edition of The Inside Edge. Bob McElligott and Jody Shelley with you. And Jody, we talked about this last week when we were on the road in, where were we? Buffalo? Yeah.
Yeah.
Where I'm asking that. I haven't gone nearly as many places as you've gone this year. I don't know how you could know where you are from day to day.
Well, I don't. I just worry on the day. And it's today I'm in Columbus.
Yes, you are. And I'm glad that you are. So that's a good thing. Today is exit day for the Blue Jackets. Before we talk about what happened last night and after the game last night, tell me about exit day and the mentality knowing that it is over and you've got to come in and start clearing everything out.
Well, I always think about any time your season ends, and I wasn't fortunate enough to win a Stanley Cup, but even the disappointment, first round loss, second round exit, it's the record is spinning fast, and then all of a sudden your routines are all over. And it's a day of reflection, disappointment, but also assessment. And I used to, you know, you'd sit with the general manager and the coaches, and they'd go around the room and tell you what you need to work on in the off season, what the direction of the organization is, and if you're a part of it or not. Or if it's a contract status, it's simply, we'll be talking to your agent, but there's a lot that goes with it because, okay, the season's over. There's nothing you can do about it now. You can talk about where you can get better as a player and the organization. And those questions are asked to the older players of, you know, sometimes the GMs ask, what do you think needs to be better? But also you know, it's a time to get with your teammates one more time. This team's going to look different next year. Every team does with the salary cap era and personal situations with contracts. So you take the next 2 days and you get together with families and the team will get together just as a group and have some fun. And then it's a turn the page and get ready for next year. And it's a long off season and, you know, watching the playoffs and being envious and feeling those emotions are all important for this organization moving forward. But it's not a great day. It's a disappointing day.
I don't have to ask you if you're going to watch the playoffs because I know you are.
Yeah.
Because you're going to work them. But, I agree. And it's kind of like right out of it. Like you asked me today, are you going to watch the playoffs this weekend? No, I don't. I'm not really interested. Ask me Friday night.
You're right.
Right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's Wednesday. Yeah,
so I know exactly what you mean by that. And everything's fresh and everything is disappointing right now.
Plus, do you watch or do you listen on the radio? How does that work?
That's a great question.
I bet you listen to the radio.
Do myself
You're
in,
part of the radio union.
If I say that I just sit in the house and watch it on TV, I'm just doing a disservice to my industry.
Exactly.
The answer is both, honestly. Like if I'm in the car and I'm like, as you always say, if I'm trapped in the car, I listen to them on the radio, but I do both.
I enjoy it.
To be honest with you, there's some guys that I consider good friends and I want to listen to them. So I put those guys on.
And I'll sometimes listen just for different information. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of these radio guys have been a fabric of their organization, like you and George Matthews, for the existence. And we just saw Joe Bowen after 44 years with the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's doing his last game actually tonight for them and in Ottawa. And it's just, it's amazing the information that he provides and the stats he knows about every facet of the organization. And his memory's off the charts.
Yeah, it is. It is. And the humor that he brings it in.
Oh, he's so self-deprecating, and he's quick and witty, just like you. I mean, you are quick.
He's. I will miss talking to Joe. I know he's a great broadcaster, but like when you go to Toronto, I am right there in his booth.
Well, and you don't have to because he's out of his booth waiting for anybody to come by.
That is true.
That wants
well.
To sit and listen to a few yarns.
Exactly. And the good news about that is the pizza is very close to where he stands.
That's right.
So I'm always going that way anyway.
There you
right?
go.
But that's he's going to be missed. That'll be a that's a big chair to fill in Toronto for sure.
It is. What a great opportunity for someone.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's talk about last night. You and I did the game together last night. The Blue Jackets lose to Washington 2-1. You know, we talked about a lot about the season and all of the pluses of the season. And then the game ended, and the players talked, but then the coach talked. And Rick Bowness was as upset as he has ever been. It's the most upset we've seen him as a member of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Upset with his team. He had some pointed comments after the game. I know a lot of it was heat-of-the-moment stuff, which, you know, he... I don't know. I don't know if he wishes he didn't say some of it or not. That doesn't matter. I mean, he was very passionate. And first of all, want to talk about that passion, because I think passion is good. I think what he showed to me when I watched that is that he ultimately cares about what's going on here, and he wants to help to fix what he feels is right in what's going on here. And I know he's always been a passionate guy, and you know, here he's been very kind of almost flatline, low key, trying to get this group going along. But what he said last night, I think, has the potential to snap a lot of people to attention, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and I don't know behind closed doors if he's low key, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, I think true. he's a good communicator, and he's demanding. You know, there's a lot of talk about being nasty in front of the net throughout this season and coming in, and we're going to play nastier. I don't believe his comments last night were, I mean, I know he referred to the stat sheet and the 23 giveaways and the only three hits in the game. It was game 82 for nothing. I think it was that, along with the major disappointment after being second in the Metropolitan Division 3.5 weeks ago, to not making the playoffs and having that game be all about Ovechkin and losing it. And, you know, that to me was as raw emotion and authentic and honest that we've seen here, maybe since definitely since John Tortorella. I think Torts had some calculation to his message at times, which was important, but it was refreshing to hear Rick Bowness be that authentic, that honest, and that real in the moment. Because I think the feeling we all got was when he said that was yes, you know. And I know it's after game 82, but it's the message we as a player. I'm trying to think as a player sitting there. And he said, this should have been said a month ago, but think about his situation. He comes in, this team does nothing but win hockey games and collect points. And what do you learn about your team during those times? Well, probably not a lot, because things go right. And then you sputter, you get some injuries, you try to test players in different situations, and you can't stop the bleeding. And, you know, he's still assessing. And he had a short period of time to learn a lot about this group. And to me, that message, he's learned enough to know that they can be better. And that's where the disappointment lies. And probably... I mean, I know Rick. He's probably talking to himself too. You know what I mean? I think that's a part of him as well. And we saw it last night after the game. If you didn't see it, check it out. You heard it on the radio. And I think it's as you walk away, as we are fans, but also we work with and for the team, you feel direction. You know, and I hope the players do too.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I like the word you said, authentic, because that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
There's no way you can't watch that and feel that it's coming from the heart. And look, when you talk about the heat of the moment, most of you listening to this, I'm sure you felt despair after that game and throughout this week, quite frankly, right?
Yeah. Wasn't just that game. Right. I think it was a disappointment going into the game. Not getting the win, not playing the Blue Jackets brand of hockey, but that's what ultimately led to failure to make the playoffs.
We're going to hear from Zach Werenski in a little bit here about the his take on it from a player's standpoint. But there was one thing that Rick Bowness said that as soon as he said it, I knew what I wanted to ask you on this show today. He said he felt that the players didn't hate losing enough. And that doesn't mean they like losing. It means that they need to really hate it. And you told me years ago the story about you going to Philadelphia and how if you lost two games in a row as a member of the Flyers, it felt like the world was coming to an end. There was incredible pressure, and that could be at any time of the season, right?
I played in Columbus, played in San Jose where we had a lot of success, won the President's Trophy, should have won a Stanley Cup, had early exits. I thought I knew kind of how to act and how it felt when after a loss or two. But there was a confidence in San Jose because we had a really good team, you know, and it wasn't until the playoffs where it was do or die down in a series that you really saw people's, you know, true colors back against the wall. And I got to Philly and expectations were extremely high, it was a good team. We had Pronger and Timonen and Hartnell and Giroux and Van Riemsdyk was young. Shan was young. And, you know, I remember things were going pretty good and then we lost one. And it was a taste. You could taste it when you after the game. And I was new there. So it was kind of like, okay. And you could feel it. It wasn't about buddy, buddy, joke, joke. It was about, well, let's get ready for practice. You know, and it wasn't the coach. It was the overall tone of the market, the organization. And then the next game we lost again and it was deeper. I mean, it was just something you could just feel it. It was no smiles. It was not about feeling good about yourself. It was going out and putting the work in practice and then slowly getting ready for that next game to make sure you were as sharp as you could be. I've seen it with this group here. It's there. But when they were losing, I think we were all waiting for it. And it's just another level. And where does it come from? I think it comes from, in this group, what we saw yesterday in Rick Bowness. And, you know, this is on him and the leadership group to make that the feeling around here that, you know, and yeah, that's how I felt. That's how I feel about it now. And it's a totally different market, and there's no one to blame outside the market, outside of the locker room. It's the players that come in here and realize and feel that. And to me, that message yesterday could be a turning point in this franchise.
Yeah, that is a really good point. And as you said earlier, it's how the players take it. Do they take it the right way? Do they get the attention? And I think they have. Coming up next, you're going to hear from Zach Werenski talking about just that as we continue with the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank here on 97.1 The Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
John always listens to his truck. So when his brakes start talking, he goes to AutoZone, where a helpful AutoZoner gets him the right parts. If John has time to put them in, he borrows a kit with Lonatool. And if he doesn't, he gets a free shop referral. No hassles, just help. Everything you need, nothing you don't.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Deposit required for Lonatool. Restrictions apply.
Hey, Mom, now that I have an after-school job, I think I want to buy a drum kit.
Okay, Rockstar. Let's look at your account.
When kids start making money, Chase has easy-to-use tools and expert bankers to help them learn how to manage it.
And next month, I'll buy the bass drum and the cymbals. Oh, and maybe some noise-canceling headphones for you.
Aw, you've thought of everything.
Help kids save, budget, and build financial independence all with Chase. That's good for kids and good for parents. Visit your local Chase branch and get started.
Account subject to approval. JP Morgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC.
James Laurinaitis here for my guys at Green & Sons, the premier Kubota dealership in Central Ohio. Green & Sons has all the Kubotas you need to tackle your land and come out a winner. They have zero turns, skid steers, tractors from 18 to 171 horsepower, and also utility vehicles. My favorite is my RTV Sidekick. The best thing about Green & Sons is they've been family owned and operated since 1970, and you will love dealing with the Green family and their winning team. Do what I did and check out Green & Sons located at Mount Sterling and Marysville, or online at greenandsons.com for all your Kubota needs.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone here for Window Nation. Spring has arrived, and it'll be a great time to open your windows. But oh, wait. Your windows don't open easily. They leak when it rains. They've got cracked glass. They need repainting again. Ugh, getting top quality custom fit windows from Window Nation, that's easy and affordable. Right now, during the More You Buy, The More You Save sale, you could save up to 50% off all your windows. Plus, you could get them with zero interest for 5 years. During uncertain times, one of the best investments you can make is in your home. Experts report that windows retain 80% of their value. With Window Nation, you'll get windows that easily slide open and closed. They are made with top quality seals, so they won't leak when it's rainy or windy. And unlike other windows, they're maintenance free. They're so good, Window Nation stands behind them with a lifetime warranty. And they're rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau. Don't wait to put an end to your window problems. Save big with Window Nation's The More You Buy, The More You Save sale. Going on now. Sale ends soon, so visit WindowNation.com for your consultation.
Enjoy more ways to save at Kroger, like low prices in every aisle. And you can clip and save more with digital coupons in the Kroger app. Plus, you can earn fuel points to save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. So it's always easy to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Fuel restrictions apply. See site for details.
Kroger makes it easy to save on fuel. Just redeem the points you've earned to save up to $1 a gallon at the pump. See store for details. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
At Great Lakes Hyundai, the savings are so good.
Spring into savings at Great Lakes Hyundai. Right now, drive your new Hyundai with payments as low as $94 per month for a 2-year lease. Get spring lease savings on every model from Elantra to Palisade. Plus, every new Hyundai comes with owner assurance and America's best warranty. A 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain coverage. Dublin or Columbus or glakeshyundai.com. With approved credit, payment on 26 Elantra SE, $39.95 down, plus tax title, first month payment, 7,500 miles per year, ends 4/30.
Let's talk interest rates. Not that kind of interest. I mean interest in you. At First Merchants Bank, we are 100% interested in your success. Our bankers provide a level of attentiveness unlike any other. We're here to get to know you and to be a helpful partner in your financial success. Aren't you tired of your bank just saying they care about your business? Make the switch to First Merchants Bank and feel the difference of real, honest interest in you. First Merchants Bank. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com/switch, helping you prosper.
Pepsi Prebiotic Cola in original and cherry vanilla. That Pepsi taste you love with no artificial sweeteners, only 30 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of prebiotic fiber. That great Pepsi taste with even more to love. Pepsi Prebiotic Cola. Unbelievably Pepsi.
Need to power through your next big project like a breakaway goal? Choose Ohio Cat for unbeatable construction equipment. From bulldozers to excavators, Ohio Cat delivers the strength, precision, and performance you need to stay ahead of the competition. And with our one-stop rental shop, you get top-tier equipment without the long-term commitment. Perfect for quick hits or major builds. Whether you're clearing the ice or building the arena, if you need it, Ohio Cat rents it. Ohio Cat, proud equipment partner of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Ryan Day's Buckeyes are ready.
And so are we, damn it.
Join Anthony Rothman, Dave Biddle, and Tim May for the Pelotonia Spring Game Tailgate Show.
Presented by Key Bank.
Broadcasting live from Fan Fest, Saturday morning at 10 on The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We could see a couple of thunderstorms tonight across central Ohio, more numerous up in northern Ohio. On Thursday, we start dry. Then in the afternoon, 50% chance of some rain, even a couple of thunderstorms and a high of 80. Friday, great way to end the week. A lot of sunshine, nearing 80. On Saturday, strong cold front afternoon, evening hours, nearing 80 for the high, and then turning much cooler on Sunday in the 50s. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
Kicking it up, Blue Jackets conversation.
Good news.
It's Hockey O'Clock.
It's the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. The Blue Jackets wrapped up their season last night, losing to the Washington Capitals 2-1. The 25th anniversary season is now over, and we're looking ahead to the future. As we talked about in the first segment, Blue Jackets head coach Rick Bowness, very emotional in the heat of the moment after the game last night, talked about the fact that his team had three hits in the game and had 23 turnovers in the game. He was upset about the performance, but he was upset about a lot more. One of the things that he said was that he didn't feel that this group was bothered by losing, at least that they weren't bothered enough about losing. Today, Zach Werenski addressed that.
I mean, he's obviously heated in the moment, and, you know, rightfully so. I feel like we obviously let it slip, and I think some things, you know, I don't want to say don't agree with, but I know deep down he cares about us and he cares about this team and the players in the room. I think it maybe came out a little bit wrong from how it got spun to the media. I definitely do think right now, especially with how the season ended, everyone has to take a good hard look in the mirror and see where we can be better. You know, I think that's just him. I mean, I've seen him get on us before in the room. I'm sure you guys haven't seen anything like that, but we know it comes from a good place. You know, I feel like it may be, I don't know, I don't want to speak on his behalf, I guess. So I think we know it comes from a good spot, but I definitely do think it's tough to see.
Yeah. Do you feel that things need to change in that room with the players? Not just as players, but like just the build of that team, how much the desire is in there to win or the hatred of losing?
Well, I think, I'm not trying to sit here and go at it with bones, like back and forth. I have a ton of respect for him, and I think he loves us as players. We love him as a coach. I don't agree, like, that's how guys in there feel. I think guys do hate to lose. I think we need to learn how to win. And I definitely think he can help us with that. I mean, he's been around for so long, and he's been to finals and he's been to the playoffs a bunch, and I think, you know, his knowledge of how to get into the playoffs and how we have to play this time of year, we do need to learn that. But I don't think it's right to say that we don't hate to lose and we don't care. Like I said, I'm not trying to sit up here and go back and forth with our head coach. I have a ton of respect for him and obviously what he's done for this group this year to get us back into it. Ultimately, like I said, you have to, all of us have to look in the mirror and, you know, reflect on what we could do better, what went wrong. But, I don't think it's fair to say we don't care and we don't hate to lose. I just think we need to learn how to win. We haven't done it enough. It's obvious. It's clear. We haven't made the playoffs in 6 years. We do need to learn that as a group. I think if that's the message, then yeah, I think we need to learn that. But I don't think us not caring or us, you know, we don't hate to lose enough, I think that's wrong.
So, Jody, no mistaking the respect that Zach Werenski has for Rick Bowness right there in the comments that he made, right?
No, that's the thing. And it's not about Rick Bowness versus the players. It's making a statement under an emotional and disappointing season wraps up and you lose the game and didn't play great. And making a statement about how he felt about the players. And of course, you know, the players care. That's right. But it's two different views of it. And at the end of the whole thing, the respect is there for the coach and what he said. They don't agree with it. Okay, great. But that doesn't really play into the matter of how things have to improve. So I like that they respect the fact that they don't agree with it, but there's an understanding there. There's more. There's something else to get them to the playoffs. And if he feels that way about it, then take us there. You know, I like that. And it's awkward in the locker room probably when you hear that. But sometimes you got to hear things and you don't understand what else can be done. I mean, that's really the a part here from a coach's perspective who doesn't go on the ice and battle and do those things and prepare like the players do. He does what he can behind the bench to make sure he gets the most out of everyone. But still, the tone of this whole thing, I'm encouraged by it because of the respect that the coach has from the players and around the league. And as a player, that's tough to hear that you don't care and losing doesn't hurt enough. Well, okay, but it might be something that there's something in between there that I need to figure out, and that's the next step. And I mean, you can always learn, and it comes from within, and it comes from the players. And Zach Werenski also said he's never felt worse leaving here. He left to go win a gold medal for the Olympics and then come back and help this team get in the playoffs. And he got the gold medal, and they missed the playoffs. And he's a guy that's had a very successful past 10, 11 months. Gold medal for the first time in over 90 years with Team USA at the World Championships, and a gold medal at the Olympics. And he's leaving here sour. So there's another level of making sure. And here's the deal. Just because the leadership group feels terrible, maybe they don't show it. Maybe it's showing it in the locker room more. Maybe it's breaking a TV or breaking a stick or throwing a table where it shows everybody that's watching you, especially the leadership group, that losing is unacceptable. You might feel it deeply and not sleep at night when you go home, but your teammates need to be well aware that this is not happening. And I think that's the next step. It's not about attacking and saying personally they don't care. Yeah, okay, you care. Now care enough to make sure everybody understands in the locker room, which is all that matters, that this is not acceptable. And it might be doing something out of your comfort zone. I think that is the next step. And now this new generation, do they have that? Is it part of their DNA? Is it something they have to learn? Is it something they have to hear from the coach and then realize and reflect, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, maybe I should show it more. Maybe I should bring that player into a locker room or just express that you're carrying yourself differently because it's got to be ingrained and can't be accepted for one inch of the oxygen in the locker room. And there's nights where you're not going to win, but you know, there's nights that's circumstantial, but it's still something that the tone of how you're showing your teammates that this is unacceptable is critical.
How much of that learning how to win is what you were just talking about off the ice, and how much of it is on the ice and doing things like they've said for weeks about we got away from our team game and all that stuff?
Well, it has a lot to do with off the ice. It really does. I mean, it really is in the fabric of the jersey you put on. And when you look at the players and how they are a part of something, that starts off the ice. And then their play, like they felt so good about themselves when they were winning. This was a team that would have been a hard out in the playoffs when they were healthy and winning. And let's not discredit Olivier and Severson and Voronkov were big misses. Voronkov for depth because he wasn't playing, but he would have filled in for Matthew Olivier. Severson has evolved into a simple, good skating, heads up, good passing, good shooting, right-handed shot defenseman to play with Werenski in circumstances throughout his time as healthy. And Matthew Olivier is part of a regulator line that would regulate the game when needed and set the tone and hold on to pucks and score goals and defend against the best. All those things are real. But to answer your question, it's off the ice as a group, and it's the leadership group that sets the tone. And with this instance, it's the coach in this organization has to set the tone for these players. And that's the reality of it. When Torts is here, he had Foligno, but Torts was the guy everyone went to and looked for the temperature of the day. And the temperature of the day, I think, has been set with Rick Bowness as we end this season. And yeah, it feels like it's going to be a long time until puck drop again. It'll be here before we know it. And that tone needs to be brought back so that the players make sure that off the ice, it's conducted that way. I don't know if it's learning how to win. I think they know how to win. They've shown us through that winning stretch. It's making sure that learning at losses are opportunities to take a step and grab. You can't have a 6-game losing streak. It can't happen. And that's when it's a players only meeting where feelings are hurt. And I don't know what went on to this players only meeting a couple weeks ago there, but it's got to be raw and real. And it's hard. It's hard because you're in a locker room and there's things that you want to address, but you're a young guy and you don't want to speak up, and you know, you don't want to hurt someone. You don't want to make someone upset at you. And you know, what are they dealing? Forget it. You know, if it's all about winning, then none of that matters.
Did you ever run a players only meeting?
I did once, yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I went to New York with the Rangers. I got traded there at the deadline. They had Callahan, Drury, we had Dubinsky. And it was interesting because I went to lunch in the practice facility in the back room, and there was like 12 guys around a table that was full, and there was a table next to that with one guy sitting there, and it was Mark Messier. And there was 10 games left in the season. We had just lost to Boston, who were chasing in the playoffs. We were 6 points out. And I said, Mess, because we're buddies, I guess. Do you mind if I sit with you? You know, sit down, Jody. Had a half hour lunch, and his message was, you guys aren't out of it. You know, I'm watching you guys thinking, you know, you've lost the end of the world. And the guys probably knew that, but I went home that day, back to Manhattan where I live, because the practice facility was out in Westchester, New York, 45 minutes out. Went back to the my room, went back to practice the next day. And after practice, I said to the captain, Chris Drury, I said, I think we should have a meeting. So we called a meeting and I started it off. I said, I brought the message that Mess said, and it was simply, we're not done. Like, this is not over. I know we feel terrible about ourselves, but we got to win tomorrow. Tomorrow night's game is we got to win. Kind of like, I don't know if it did anything. That was the year in 2010. We lost game 82 in a shootout to the Philadelphia Flyers. We took the train back to Manhattan. They went all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals and lost. They got in a game 82 in a shootout. And, you know, and I've also been in some where it is heated and it is, there are wounds opened up. But at the end of the day, players respect you more for being honest and saying, because everyone feels what you're feeling in a meeting, you know, and it's good to get uncomfortable. It's an important part of an 82 game season. And you look at some of the teams that have gotten back into the playoffs. Look at the Buffalo Sabres. There was an undertone that needed to be pushed there. You know, so there's pivotal points in all these seasons where coaches or players or something needs to happen.
Well, and we'll see if that something was, as you said, very possibly what happened here last night. Coming up next, we're going to talk about moving ahead for where you are now. This season is over. What's next for the Blue Jackets as we continue with the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank on 97.1 The Fan.
The two most mature people working at the radio station.
And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan.
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show.
But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few. Live or on demand.
You have no excuses.
The Fan.
all Blue Jackets, all the time.
This is the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan.
Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley here with you, wrapping up this 25th anniversary season. And Jody, we've been talking about the despair of the ending and all of that stuff, but let's not forget, there were some really special things that happened for this team this season. 2 years in a row, through 81 games, this team had a chance to make the playoffs.
Right. Okay?
So, again, as we're talking about, and the players are saying we need to learn to win, and Rick Bowness is saying they need to not accept losing as much as they are. There is all of that, but if you look at it, you're right there, right? You're 81 games through, and you still could have been in it. Next year, the season's going to 84 games, so I guess we'll get to 83. I'm just kidding. But seriously, you know, it's not when you look at it, and I don't know, I'm not a GM. I never want to be one. But when you look at it, you think.
You don't?
No, I don't. No. Why? Do you?
I don't know.
Well, you might want to. I don't. That's too much.
I don't. It's not like I want. I'm not looking to be.
Yeah.
But. I mean, don't rule anything out, Bob.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I'm not one right now.
No, but you could be.
But again, you got to figure out the bits and pieces, right? So as it ends last night and you're doing the exit interviews today, there's still a where are we going now? And as you talked about, it seems like there's a message that has been set.
Yeah.
A direction has been set. But where do you start going on day one of the offseason?
It's all about winning. And you take what you learn from this season, and let's not forget the perspective of the league they're in. The National Hockey League, 8 teams in the East have made the playoffs. And every single team that's not in there, look at the Rangers, the Devils, the Islanders. That's 3 New York markets that the Rangers had expectations this year. The Toronto Maple Leafs had high expectations this year. Now they're going for a top 5 pick and finishing in the bottom of the league. Making the playoffs is imperative for every organization. So, and look what's happening. GMs are getting fired late in the season. Coaches are getting changed late in the season. That it's all about making sure doing what you can to get in. So, and every team is playing to every game is the parity has never been higher. And when you'll see the playoffs start and the East to me is wide open and it's because the parity. So there's no blueprint where you say, if you follow this, you will win a Stanley Cup. The timing of your young guys, which now the young guys are 5 years into their career with the Blue Jackets, the growth of the older guys, the getting that skin on them where the wounds have healed over so many times that now they just know, you know, the veteran strength of players in battles like Charlie Coyle. This has been, and at every season you have to, and then the other part of that is keeping that group that goes through that together as best as you can. And some teams have superstars, 3 of them that they've been building around for the last decade, decade and a half, 2 decades in Pittsburgh. Okay. But it starts with goaltending, middle of the ice, and defensemen. And the Blue Jackets have good goaltending in Jack Greaves. They've got good defense with Zach Werenski led by. They could use some depth because, you know, with Severson out, they were rotating Christensen and Zamula. And so a little bit of depth there. And then maybe some speed down the middle. Maybe a veteran like Coyle that comes in that was just an absolute bright spot. First time missing the playoffs in his career. Okay. So you tinker. You watch. You see what's available. Do you make trades? Do you do whatever you can, but the currency of the young players and the draft picks are there for this Blue Jackets team. The cap space is there. But you also watch what's happening around the league and what wins. And it's the combination of the coach, the leadership group, that is right and the determination to win. And this is not just getting in the playoffs. That dialogue needs to end. This needs to be a team that's were playing like they were when they were unbeatable, and that's a unit. And that's how this organization has to play. You go through like they do every year and figure out where you're lacking. And I think they were exposed with their depth, and especially on the blue line.
I was just thinking when you were talking about coaches being changed, it's funny how this year worked out with that.
because it went so long before somebody got let go. And then, of course, Dean Evason did. Rick Bowness came in here. And then there were other changes. How about the ones that were done in the last 2 weeks?
Yeah. I mean, that was to get ahead of it. Yeah. I think that would, for Darsh and Long Island, it was to get ahead of it in the offseason to have Pete DeBoer.
Yeah, before somebody else got him.
Before someone else got him.
Right. John Tortorella goes into Vegas.
That late was in the season. A voice in Cassidy that had already won a Stanley Cup with Vegas, and it was time for a new voice. You know,
how many guys do you think are gone when the season ends?
Well, Toronto, and I love Craig Berube, but I think he knows he's done after the game tonight. And maybe two or three.
Yeah.
You know, and where do you look? Some teams are looking for a young American Hockey League coach. Depends on the situation you're in. If you have a veteran group, you know, you could go either way.
Right. But, veteran group, maybe a Bruce Cassidy like has gone through and won the Stanley Cup in Vegas. Or, as you said, on the other end of the spectrum, guys like Spencer Carberry, who, 2 years ago now, came up from the American Hockey League, took over the Washington Capitals, maybe went to the playoffs last year, and then, you know, came up just like the Blue Jackets, just short this year of getting back.
Yeah, I mean, and he won the Jack Adams last year for the coach of the year. But yeah, it's... I like the Blue Jackets hockey team. I like everything they've built. They've grown here. I like what the tone of the players. I like the Werenski success on the international stage. I like the recognition he's getting from the league now in the North, heavy in the Norse conversation. Those are all important things. You know, he is a star on this team. Yeah, you got to be careful what you get rid of, too, because, like I said earlier, these guys have learned and grown together. So that's a big piece of this. But I would expect, I mean, Don's a guy who's made trades. He's going to make more. Do you go after unrestricted free agents? Maybe. But do you overpay an older guy? In the case of Coyle, I would think so. But we'll see. I mean, now Coyle is, he's so close to free agency. You know, I would probably think his representation would tell him to maybe test it, and then what do you do? So those are all things for the general manager to figure out, but it's a delicate situation.
Coming up next, we're going to talk playoff picture, because in the East it is set, and in the West it is now set. So we'll talk about those series that are coming up that'll be starting this weekend as we continue with the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank on 97.1 The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Get in the zone.
Skip Musick has been on The Fan for nearly 80 years, and during that time, he's worn many hats. Executive producer for Ohio State Athletics, talk show host, private detective when Ron Stokes loses his phone.
Somebody do something!
He's done it all. But his proudest accomplishment, host of Tee to Green. If it has anything to do with golf in Central Ohio, Skip's on it. Cheers to the next 80 years, Skip. And listen to Tee to Green Saturday mornings at 9 here on The Fan.
Can't get enough Blue Jackets conversation?
Good news.
It's Hockey O'Clock.
It's the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Wrapping up this season's Inside Edge, wrapping up the 25th season of Blue Jackets hockey, as a matter of fact. Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley. And the playoff picture is set in the Eastern Conference. Jody, everybody is locked in. The Carolina Hurricanes, they're winning the conference. 113 points is what they have right now. And, well, that's what they're going to finish with. They played their 82 games. So they finished with 113. They are going to take on the Ottawa Senators in the first round. The Buffalo Sabres are going to get the Boston Bruins. Then you've got, in the Metropolitan Division, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. In the Atlantic, it is Tampa and Montreal. You talked about this in the last segment. You feel the East is wide open. When the Bruins were leaving the other day, I saw former Blue Jackets defenseman Andrew Peak in the hallway. And I said hello to him. I wish him the best in the playoffs. And he said, I'm really excited because I think we match up really well against some of the teams that we could be playing.
Oh, yeah. And the Blue Jackets would have felt the same way. And to me, Ottawa's a tough matchup. Boston's a tough matchup because Swayman, their goaltender, is playing really well. Carolina's the one with me with the most expectations coming into the season, but more going into the playoffs. That they have to, they want to make it to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Well, they're a great regular season team, exactly. And they have been, but in the playoffs they have faltered.
The dialogue is always the same.
Right.
Buffalo came on the scene. Expectations were what? It was unknown. But now they won the Atlantic. Montreal probably had expectations after last year squeaking in the playoffs, but you know, do they have a lot? Tampa has dealt with a lot of injuries. They're in. So to me, Carolina has the heaviest amount of expectations. After that, like the Philly-Pittsburgh series, look out.
House money, though.
Oh, right? It's so great.
Yeah.
Both teams, Philly wanted to compete for a playoff spot. They exceeded that. Pittsburgh, we weren't sure. Crosby was going to play for another team start of the year. Right. If it didn't go well in this rebuild, guess what? They've had a heck of a year under Dan Muse.
Yeah, go back to our third or fourth show of the year, yeah. And that was one of the
subjects. Where's he going to go?
Right.
Maybe Toronto, maybe Montreal. No, that dialogue is in the dust. So I'm excited. I think it is wide open. It's going to be, I think every one of these series is going to be an all-out battle. Carolina, Ottawa. Ottawa, to me, is they've been dangerous defensively. Their numbers are one of the best in the league. They've got great veteran experience, plus guy like Jake Sanderson as their number one D. He's healthy now. Their goaltending has been their only issue, and who cares about your goaltending in the regular season if he's great in the playoffs?
Right.
And we've seen it before. And now it's a different animal. You're facing the same team for a seven-game series. You get some rhythm. Look out for the Ottawa Senators.
All right, let's go to the West. Colorado leading the way there. They're going to take on the LA Kings, who they squeak into the playoffs in that second wild card spot there.
That's over in four, and they're going to watch Dallas and Minnesota battle it out in seven games, and that is going to be the advantage for Colorado in the next round. And Dallas, to me, is dangerous. Minnesota has made their team a little more gritty, bigger. They want to grind and kind of bring that series down in the trenches. Their goaltending is not as good right now, but Dallas is a well-built team. They're not happy to face Minnesota in the first round because they know Colorado is going to kind of face LA and have, you would expect, an easy series. And that's going to be who can stay healthiest out of that, those two in the Central. Look out for the Oilers. Connor McDavid. Last 2 years, they went to the Stanley Cup Finals and lost. Mm-hmm. So when you lose, you have to go through, and you're a playoff team, you have to go through the offseason, the preseason, the regular season before anything matters again. And I know Connor McDavid has about 124 points. He's leading the league. I think he's leading Kucherov by four, but it's now his time. They're waking up, and he is dominating games recently, and Draisaitl's not playing. And they are going to have the Anaheim Ducks. They're good for Anaheim. Mm-hmm. Good young team. Picked up some good veterans. They've done some great things. But I can't wait to watch that series. And Vegas with Torts has Utah. That's going to be a battle. Utah's fast and hard.
Utah was here a couple of weeks ago, and they talked about how important it was to get that first wild card spot because everybody wanted to stay away from Colorado. So they did it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, as you said, they might be a tough out.
As Daryl Sutter once said, I think it was against the Red Wings back in the day, make the playoffs and face Detroit, and he would say, that's a waste of a week. And I know I shouldn't say that. I say it jokingly because Colorado is that good against the LA Kings. But you never know. Who knows? It's playoffs.
That's right.
Injuries, health, goaltending, you know, all those things are good. And luck. You need to have some luck.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And sometimes that luck comes through goaltending.
Yeah, you're right.
It really does.
Yeah.
Right? And we're talking about Vegas. That's been their Achilles heel all year.
Now it changes.
Right.
Carter Hart.
Right.
Has been leaned into by John Tortorella, who he had Carter in Philly.
Yep.
And sometimes you just need that certainty, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I look at a few situations around the league where just a little certainty goes a long way.
Right.
And the gray areas with Torts, we know they don't exist.
Right. No, they do not. But Jody, I'll tell you what. Every week we go through this, and there's sometimes we're like, oh, what day? Oh, tomorrow's the day to do the show. We got to do the show tomorrow. I miss the conversations.
Yeah.
And I will miss the conversations all summer. We'll have them, but I miss doing it like this every week. So it's been great again. I don't even know how long we've been doing this right now, but it's fun to do it every week with you.
It is great. We are privileged to be in the National Hockey League and even more so to work for the Columbus Blue Jackets and be a part of this community and this fan base. And, you know, I know it's a trying time when you don't make the playoffs, and there's disappointment, but I'm excited about this team and next season and this organization. And, you know, game 82 was yesterday, and I'm looking forward to getting back at this with you and this team and see the direction and watch them get to the playoffs and beyond, because it's going to happen.
Absolutely. Hey, I want to thank all the producers we had this year at 97.1 The Fan for making sure we get on the air and do our thing here. Thanks to our PR department, Todd Schrock and Glenn Odobrowski. Glenn has been a true warrior in getting us guests all year long, and we appreciate that very much. But, of course, we appreciate you the most, because without you, there's no need for us. So thank you for being there. Thank you for being such dedicated fans of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Your support, your well wishes, all of it. It means so much to us. And in case you're wondering if it does, we're affirming that right now. You're the best. So thank you so much for being with us. That's going to wrap up the 2025-26 season, the 25th anniversary season of Blue Jackets hockey. For Jody Shelley, I'm Bob McElligott. Thanks for listening here on 97.1 The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Ohio Heating and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Most people.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.